So why don't you start off by telling us when and why did you start creating music?
Always was a big fan of music growing up, especially hip-hop culture. You know, always appreciated, the fashion, the hairstyles, the kicks, just how hip-hop, represented a community. It represented a certain time. And just as I grew up, I just recall, a lot of times saving up my lunch money, starving myself a lot of times. To buy tapes just so I could keep up and, have other artists I liked. And I didn't actually see a future in music. I just knew I loved it. But, as I played sports early on, was blessed to play college football at Morgan State, out in Baltimore. And then I transferred to Salisbury University after that and finished up there. But I got into acting when I was at Salisbury as well. And, everything went well with that I got invited to Penn State graduate school for acting, and I didn't make it into the program, but I told myself, if I don't make it in, I'm just gonna put my heart and my time into music. So obviously I didn't make it in, but God has a way of showing you certain paths in life. So when that didn't happen, I just attacked music hard and started making an income and a living off of it.
Absolutely, that's great. And last time we talked, you had mentioned that the first song you ever wrote was a Christmas song, correct? Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, besides the fact that it was pretty bad, I was living in Georgia at the time. I was around 13, and a lot of the friends that I had would always beatbox and freestyle during recess and different things. And we kind of had a small group, and we were known at the school for doing these little raps and everything. And I remember they did a Christmas concert, and they asked us to put together a Christmas song. And so I remember going home that night, struggling, trying to put a verse together and present it. And man, it was supremely bad. But I look at it as a part of my history as an artist. One of the memories I have that got me started down my path.
All right. And as you just said, of getting started, while you were growing up, did you have any favorite musicians you admire?
Yeah, I was a big Tribe Called Quest fan, big Redman fan, EPMD. Those are some of my favorite. Public Enemy was a favorite of mine as well. A lot of the older school artists that got the hip-hop industry where it is now. I related to sports, where you got the old school players that, are in the Hall of Fame and they're great, but they didn't make near the amount of money that the guys make today. And music's the same way. A lot of the hip-hop pioneers didn't make the money that the guys make today, but they paved that path.
And what was it about them that you liked so much?
Just their style. I think 90s hip-hop and early 00 hip-hop, everybody was more interested on being their own entity and having their own brand, and no one wanted to follow anyone's style, and everybody was big on one-ing up the next man, whereas I feel like today's hip-hop is more follow the leader. Like, all right, that's hot. Let me make a record that sounds just like that one. And the storytelling aspect that was big in hip-hop and is a part of hip-hop culture, to me, isn't alive anymore. I mean, most records you hear, especially on the radio, all the content's the same. Partying in the club, the whole nine. And don't get me wrong, that has a place. It definitely has a place. I like party music when I'm in the club and everything, too. But you're not listening to that type of music at 6 in the morning, when you're getting up going to work. So, music evolves naturally over time. I just feel like we really need to double back and remember the foundation of hip-hop and incorporate some of those qualities that made it great.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that. Going to your music now, I see that you kind of like to blend in a variety of genres into your songs. And could you just go into detail of how you successfully do that?
Yeah, definitely. Again, I like all types of music. My favorite artist, not even a hip-hop artist, is a band, Coldplay. Growing up around the world, it just gave me a big perspective on the world, on people, on different cultures. And so I listened to all types of music growing up, though hip-hop was my favorite. So, when I knew when I started writing music and getting serious about it and everything, that I knew I just didn't want to do strictly underground hip-hop or just, hip-hop. I liked blending genres. I liked being able to touch a lot of the masses and not just being boxed in. It's just hard for someone like me to be boxed in because I was able to experience a lot of the world growing up. And then being a musician now, I get to travel and I get to go back to a lot of places I once lived or go to new places I've never been in, but do it as a musician. So I'm all about the life experience aspect. I try to keep my music commercial, catchy, so people can learn it quick. But also I like to put a message in my music still.
Yeah, and going off of that, I noticed your songs are profanity free. Could you explain your reasoning behind that? And do you feel there's any risk in the music industry doing that?
I mean, I used to curse really bad back in the day. I think as I got older, you see the decrease in value in that, and I wanted to be more creative as a musician. It's easy to stick a curse word in a song or a verse or whatever and piece it together, but you're more creative when you're not using that. Two, I raised two kids on my own. You know, I have sons, so I don't want them hearing that out of my mouth in my music. I want them to listen to everything I make. And my fan base, I mean, it's as young as, you know, my son being four all the way up to 70, 80-year-olds that enjoy my music, you know, though it's hip hop. And I mean, I've heard from several people just, you know, I don't like hip hop, but yeah, I like your type of hip hop. You know, I can understand it, I can get with it. And I've heard that from all types of ages, all different colors, you know, as long as I've been doing music. So, you know, I'm about the impact. I don't think it's risky at all because a lot of people actually think I curse in my music because of the way I deliver it. They don't even notice that I don't curse. So I think overall people just recognize good music.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome that you're able to reach such a wide audience. And you mentioned you had two kids. What kind of impact have they had on your music career so far?
I mean, you have that perspective of you know, you're raising kids and you want them to be successful in life and you want them to be, you know, great gentlemen in their own right. And so it's important to me that I continue down my dream and I create my legacy because I want them to see that I never stopped at what I wanted. And it's important, I think, to put that into your kids' minds early on. So as they go through life and become adults, that's their mind frame that, hey, nothing's given. I got to work hard to be successful. If I got a dream or something I want to go towards, I need to go at it until I exhaust all, you know, possibilities. Because there are times when you're going after a goal and you can give your all and not totally reach that goal you want, but the main thing is you don't want to have regrets when you're going after a goal or a dream. You want to know that, hey, I did everything I could. It just wasn't in the plan. So it's just important to me that I'm a good father to my kids. I'm a good role model. And they see that, you know, it definitely takes a lot of hard work in this lifetime to get what you want.
Yeah, that's awesome. So one of my favorite songs by you is Who We Are. Could you just explain the inspiration behind that song and what kind of message you wanted to put into that song?
Yeah, I mean, the message for that record is pretty simple. It's just a record of standing up for what you believe in and also just, you know, loving yourself and having self-worth and knowing, you know, who you are and what you stand for, because that's part of the journey of life is finding out why you're here and what you stand for. So that's the deeper meaning of the record, but on the surface level, it's definitely a danceable record, a club record, commercial record, radio record, all those things, and combines different elements of hip-hop, pop music, and EDM music into one. And, you know, for the people that just like are more heavy into the production or just in the hooks or, like I said, are the radio listeners, they'll enjoy the record because, like I said, it make you dance, put your hands up and have a good time. But for the people that love lyrics and are enjoy, you know, real school hip hop, you can still enjoy the record because, you know, if you heard it, the lyrics are real rapid fire. I'm still talking about something. It still has a message. And I like to call the music I make conscious commercial. You know, just because I do keep a message in my music, but it's very commercial driven, you know, towards radio.
Yeah, it's definitely hot, man. I actually really love that song, so definitely
Thank
be
you.
listening it
Appreciate it.
and playing around my friends, spreading the word for you.
Hey, thank you so much for that.
Yeah, of course. So in early 2015, you and your band joined forces with the Armed Forces Entertainment for a 19-day overseas concert tour. Could you just describe that experience for me?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, you know, my pops was in the army. He was in the army for 27 years. So, like I was saying earlier, I grew up around the world and I got an opportunity last year to collaborate on Armed Forces Entertainment. And what they do is they put together these massive tours and bring artists of my caliber, all the way up to major label artists, out to different parts of the world where there's troops stationed. And the tour that I got selected for was a tour to the Middle East. Into Africa. So, you know, I was able to visit Africa. I was able to visit UAE, Kuwait, Bahrain. Great opportunity to see the world, but also more than anything, a great opportunity to perform for our troops who protect us every day and at times, unfortunately, are forgotten about because they are so far away at times. And I know after I did my shows, I made it a point to hang out with the soldiers. I spent a lot of my nights hanging out to 4, 5, 6 in the morning, knowing I had to catch a flight in a couple hours to the next location. But that was part of the experience for me. And a lot of the soldiers told me that, you know, a lot of the artists that come through there, you know, they put on a great show, but they don't really spend that extra time to sit down, have some drinks with the soldiers, talk to them, get to know them. So I got lifelong friends that I met just through that tour. And when we went through Africa, I got a chance. We had a layover in Ethiopia, so I had a chance to go through one of the villages and have a guide. And I mean, I got to see extreme poverty that just really touched me. And I mean, I gave clothes away off, you know, off my back. I gave money out of my pocket. I actually send donated clothes out to this village in Ethiopia every couple of months just to help out. So it was a great experience. I was able to document it. I was able to tell the world what I saw and what I did. And, you know, I just encourage people that as you go through life, it's important to travel and see other cultures and see other parts of the world, because it just gives you a better perspective, and it makes you humble, and it gives you more appreciation for the things you have.
Absolutely. I would totally agree with that. And as for your latest album, Apartment 507, which is available now, could you tell me the kind of feelings you have seeing your music out there and what the story is behind that album?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not easy to get distribution in this day and age, especially if you're not on a major label. You really, as an independent artist, have to, you know, have press and be doing shows and, you know, licensing some of your work and just be a very active artist. Because there are big independent distributors. I'm with one of the biggest ones called Ingrooves, and I had to do a tremendous amount of work just to get distribution for my product. But I know anything I make now, I can put it out, and it'll get out there, and it could be out there for retail. And, you know, it feels good because it's something I had to work towards. It wasn't given to me right away when I got into music, and it was something I had to prove myself on. So, you know, something I'm definitely happy about, expanding my business also. But my last album, Apartment 507, actually came out last year. I wrote a lot of the album just staring out of my, I have a big bay window where I stay at. And a lot of the album I just wrote staring out of my window and watching the city, watching the people in the city. And I wanted to create the sound of Baltimore at night. So a lot of the production has soulful sounds, jazzy sounds, hip hop sounds. It has that hustle and bustle of the city type sound to it. And I just wrote records that represent real life that I saw outside of my window. And that's why I named the title Apartment 507.
Very cool. I also saw that you've recently started entering middle schools to deliver anti-bully lectures and performances. I just want to know, what encouraged you to start doing those lectures, and could you describe those experiences?
Yeah, I want to be more than just a musician, you know. I feel we're here to help others, give opportunities to others, do our part, be a productive member of society, and that's a way for me to do that. You know, I love going into these schools, I love giving back, and I love giving the kids something that's memorable. So, you know, I just kind of devised a presentation where I go into schools and I talk about anti-bullying, but lectures can get stale to kids. You know, we're antsy when we're kids. And so I said, hey, you know, I'm gonna go in, do these lectures, but I'm gonna bring my live band in, and I'm gonna do basically talk about a couple bullet points, and then I'll have a song that drives home the bullet points that I was talking about. And I tried it for the first time about 2 years ago, and it wasn't just successful with the kids, but the faculty loved it, saw the success with it, and so I was able to get more bookings and expand on that level, and you know, be able to go into the middle school, sometimes high schools, and deliver, it's basically an anti-bully musical lecture that you get. And I really want to expand that and be able to not just work my area or regionally, but turn it into a national deal where I can go out and tour and hit different middle schools across the country and deliver this message, because bullying has always been around forever. It's big in schools, especially in middle school. A lot of times is when it starts. So I mainly focus on middle school because my job is to go in there and try to put a dent in that or stop it before it gets to high school. So it's something in my heart to do. I'm not an artist that just wants to, you know, do performances in clubs or just do festivals and just tour. I want to get back to my community, and that's my way to do it.
That's a great message. So as for a musician who's just starting out, what advice would you give to them?
I would tell them, learn the industry that you're trying to get into. So if it's music, you know, learn about how labels work. Learn how to open up your own label. Learn what a pro society is. Learn what royalties are. Learn, you know, how to get paid in the industry. You know, this is before you even put your first song out. You know, build your team. Make sure you got a graphic artist. Make sure you got producers. You know, you want to get all that stuff in place so when you hit the ground running, you don't have to stop or have hiccups, because the music industry moves so fast. It's so fast-paced. There's always new trends. The music is constantly changing. So you want to, once you get in the machine, you want to be able to keep the machine running. So I would say, man, it's treated like a test. You know, you wouldn't go take a test without studying, because you're going to get a D or an F. So same with the music career or any career you choose. If you don't study or do research on the industry you're trying to break into, it's going to be a lot harder to be successful at it. Mm-hmm.
Totally. So lastly, for the fans who want to keep up to date with you, are there any social media accounts you're on that people can follow you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, please, you know, always visit my official website first. It's wordsmithmusic.com. And then on my social networks on Facebook, it's Wordsmith. Twitter, it's Wordsmith. The only thing that's a little different on is my Instagram. It's wordsmithmusic. But I'm pretty easy to find. YouTube, it's Wordsmith as well. So, you know, please follow me. Feel free to leave comments, share my music. Feel free to email me. I definitely love talking to people and answering people back. So I would say definitely don't be shy. And again, you know, you hear what you like. I'm an independent artist, so word of mouth and sharing my music is just as big and just as great as getting radio play.
Absolutely. That's great. Well, that's all for now. This is LaSalle College Radio with Wordsmith. Thanks again for calling in and doing this interview with me. It's much appreciated.
Hey, not a problem. Thank you for the great questions. And check me out when you get a chance. Appreciate it.